couple of things we're doing differently during Lent. We'd like to, the choir and I would like to help you go through the general intercessions when we ask the Lord to answer our prayers. We're going to use a musical thing that you normally say, "Lord, hear our prayer." In this case, we'll say, "Let us pray to the Lord."
God of mercy, hear our prayer.
And for the sick, let us pray to the Lord.
God of mercy, hear our prayer.
For those intentions we hold in the silence of our heart, let us pray to the Lord.
God of mercy, hear our prayer.
Then there must be a little change in the formula there. And then we've got a new, relatively new, mystery of faith. Save us, Savior of the world. The words are on page 5, the third memorial acclamation. Save us, Savior of the world, for by your cross and resurrection you have set us free in our prayer cards. So our priest will say the mystery of faith, and he'll do this. Celebrate the third Sunday of Lent. And I ask that you now take a moment to greet and welcome one another. Our celebrant for this evening's Mass is Father Daniel O'Sullivan. The outline for today's readings can be found on page 40 in Breaking Bread, and our entrance song is number 414, Church of God, Elect and Glorious.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the love of God our Father, the fellowship of Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit be with all of you. As we gather today to celebrate our Mass and Eucharist, we are reminded that at its very heart, a sacred meal is the celebration of the freedom of Jesus Christ won for all of us by His death and resurrection. So let's begin by calling to mind our sins and asking for pardon. Lord, you offer us the word of life, so Lord, have mercy. Lord, you nourish us with the bread of freedom, so Christ, have mercy. And Lord, you make our hearts glad through the cup of salvation, so Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen.
So let us pray. O Father, author of every mercy and of all goodness, when fasting, prayer, and almsgiving during Lent, you have shown all of us a remedy for evil. So look graciously upon us and lift us up by your mercy. We ask this through Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. In those days, God delivered all of these commandments. I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that place of slavery. You shall not have other gods beside me. You shall not carve idols for yourselves in the shape of anything in the sky above, or on the earth below, or in the waters beneath the earth. You shall not bow down before them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, inflicting punishment for their father's wickedness on the children of those who hate me, down to the third and fourth generation, but bestowing mercy down to the thousandth generation on the children of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the Lord your God, the name of the Lord your God, in vain, for the Lord will not leave unpunished the one who takes his name in vain. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. 6 days you may labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. No work may be done then either by you or your son or daughter, or your male or female slave, or your beast, or by the alien who lives with you. In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord has blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, that you may live a long life in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male or female slave, nor his ox or ass, or anything else that belongs to him. The word of the Lord.
Of everlasting life. Love.
St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, Jews and Greeks alike, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. The word of the Lord.
So he made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen. And he spilled their coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my father's house a marketplace." So his disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing all this?" And Jesus answered them and said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And the Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But Jesus was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said all this. And they came to believe the Scriptures and the words Jesus had spoken. Now while he was in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it so well. And this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I'm sure it may be hard for us to comprehend today's gospel, the anger or what Jesus saw when he came into the temple. He saw his father's house, where he certainly knew it would be a very sacred place. To see these people turning into a marketplace, all kinds of gatherings, and as we heard described, sheep, oxen, money changing, all kinds of goings on. So Jesus was really upset by all that, and we know what he did. And maybe some of us feel that way when we hear the news, you know, recently that many of our churches will be closing, and churches that people went to, like this one, where you come every Sunday or whenever you can. It's a holy place. Many people were baptized in these churches. They made the first Holy Communion here. Many of these churches that had schools, they remember sending their children to school there. They remember the comradeship, the sodalities, all the gatherings that they had over the years. These churches were certainly sacred places. So I'm sure maybe the feeling that Jesus had when he came into the temple and saw what was happening to it has rubbed off on many people throughout this area. Maybe some people are even more enraged when they see what other people are doing to our churches. Maybe you heard a few weeks ago in this church up in Troy, a Chaldean church, was desecrated in a sense outside, graffiti written on the walls, really terrible things. That was bad, but we've had even worse. I'm sure you all heard a few years ago when St. Rita's Church on the close to State Fair in John R. in that area, been there for many years, had a grade school, high school, very deep place, sacred place, how over and over again thieves broke into it. Not only vandalized it, but they desecrated it, broke statues, broke into the tabernacle, strewn the hosts all over the church. They did this. I remember the first time they did this, the archbishop and the priests had to come in there and clean it up. And we consecrated, because it was really desecrated. It was made unholy. And then shortly after that, it was done again and again. So finally, the archdiocese said, the people in this area cannot protect the church. They cannot keep it sacred anymore. Maybe it wasn't their fault, because many people move away. They move away from these inner city churches. You leave them alone there. They're almost like victims of anybody who come along and do whatever they want to do with them. So that has been the problem of the church in Detroit. There's so many people moving out, so many beautiful churches everywhere. You drive through the city, you see them all there, and you wonder what's going to happen to them. So that's why there's a challenge to all of us, Catholics who come to our churches, to really have respect for them, but really have in a sense of rage that Jesus had in the temple. They said that zeal for his house consumed him. Does that same zeal consume us? Do we love our parishes? Do we love our churches? Other than just coming there and using them for Mass or whenever we feel like it, do we really feel obligated to keeping these churches safe, to keeping them sacred? Maybe even these older people that live in these communities there, are they really alone? I know I had Mass this morning at Lady Queen of Angels Church over there by Van Dyke and 8 Mile Road. Beautiful, beautiful church. It was a Polish community, one of the most beautiful churches in the diocese. And yet the dwindling numbers, I think there's 30 people at Mass this morning. And these are the people that were born and raised there, went to school there. Some of them brought back their families with them. They don't live there. They moved out of the area. The area is still kind of a dangerous area. But they come there, and they don't want to see their church bulldozed or vandalized. They're hoping that maybe it will revitalize. They hope that maybe like when Kevin Costner had that movie about the Field of Dreams. He said if you build a ball field, if you build it, people will come to it. Well, maybe that's what we're hoping for in the church throughout this area. But not only through this year, but even throughout the world. You probably heard of people from the Chaldeans who come to our country from Iraq, from Baghdad. You know the terrible siege that the church has been going through over there. The Chaldeans were once a very prominent force group in Iraq. But they've been targeted by these extremists. Extremists who want to wipe out Christianity from that part of the world. So we know just recently, an archbishop in his cathedral, I think on Christmas Day, was dragged out by extremists and murdered in front of his own cathedral. The bishops of Baghdad and Iraq are appealing to their young people, to their Chaldeans who have fled, and we just see them in our area. Can't go anywhere but seeing these refugees from Christianity in our city. And our hearts go out to them, because what they went through in Iraq and Baghdad, many of our people are going through that here in their own parishes. So rather than flee, rather than wring our hands, maybe this is a challenge to every Catholic in this metropolitan area not only the older people, but the middle-aged people and the young ones. Can't we reclaim our churches? Can't we reclaim our heritages? Sometimes our parents, our grandparents sacrificed greatly to build these beautiful churches around our city. Do we have to let them be vandalized and abandoned and do nothing about it? So maybe what's happening with the idea of clustering, maybe closing some churches, can challenge all of us to say enough's enough. We are going to reclaim our churches. We're going to fill them up again. And not just with the old people, not with the people over 70 years of age, but with the middle-aged people, with the young people who certainly have their faith handed on to them. So that's what Jesus was about in today's gospel. We heard what he did in the temple. Do we have that same zeal for the house of God?
Let us recite our Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Let us pray. God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. God's weakness is stronger than human strength. So with great expectation now, we turn to the Lord with all our prayers.
After each petition, God of mercy, hear our prayer.
For the church, that we may grow in our awareness of our dignity as temples of the Holy Spirit, we pray to the Lord.
For God of mercy, hear our prayer.
For the President and members of Congress, that God will inspire and guide their work as they seek to face the challenges of our society, we pray to the Lord.
God of mercy, hear our prayer.
For all victims of violence, that God will heal all who have been injured and bring peace to all who mourn those who have died, we pray to the Lord.
God of mercy, hear our prayer.
For a deeper appreciation of the commandments, that we may allow the wisdom and vision of the commandments given to Moses to form our hearts and guide our decisions, we pray to the Lord.
God of mercy, hear our prayer.
For the sick, may they know the comforting peace of Jesus. We pray to the Lord.
God have mercy, hear our prayer.
For the recently deceased, Geraldine Cosmano, Lugina Volpari, Guy Serafino, Frank Niveau, and for the intentions of this Mass, Barbara Marlowe, Violet Spiteri, the souls in purgatory, that they may come to share in the life of the risen Lord, we pray to the Lord.
God have mercy, hear our prayer.
For each of us gathered here and for our loved ones, that we make the best of our Lenten journey to Easter, we pray to the Lord.
God have mercy, hear our prayer.
Loving God, as we make our prayers to you today, we ask you to continue your saving works amongst us, that all people may know your love for us and your mercy for all of us. We ask this through Jesus Christ, who is Lord forever and ever.
Amen.
Archangel, Lord, to all, and in earth.
Salvation, always everywhere to give you thanks for your beloved Son Jesus. He is the Word through whom you made the universe. He is the Savior you sent to redeem us. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you took flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake, he opened his arms on the cross. He put it into death to reveal the resurrection. In this, he fulfilled your will and won for your holy people. So now we join with all the archangels and angels and all the saints of heaven, proclaiming your glory as we say together.
Holy, holy, holy. Oh,
himself for us, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before he was given up to death, the death of God's being accepted, at the last supper of the night before he died, Jesus took bread into his hands. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said to them, "Take this, all of you, and eat it, for this is my body, which will be given up for all of you." When supper was finished, knowing the end was near, Jesus took the chalice. Again he gave you thanks and praise for this. He gave this chalice to his disciples and said to them, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for people everywhere, so that sins may be forgiven. As often as you gather to do this in memory of me." Let us proclaim the mysteries of our faith. We thank you for counting us worthy to be in your presence to serve you. Each of us is sharing the body and blood of Christ, be brought together in unity by the Holy Spirit. Lord, remember your people throughout the world. Make us grow together in love for each other. Together with the Holy Father, Pope Benedict, Ellen Bingham, our bishop, and all the people of God everywhere. So, Father, remember all our loved ones who have gone to their rest in hope of rising again. Bring them and all the departed into the light of your presence. And mercy on us too, make us worthy to share eternal life with Mary, the Virgin Mother of God, with the apostles and saints who have done your will throughout the ages. May we praise your union with them and give glory through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Without the mercy of salvation, but without This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and after we call him the wheel. Lord, have mercy on me, and the sin of the Christ. Body of Jesus.
Communion, let us sing, I Have Loved You, number 625. Number 625.
I
Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we receive your pledge of things hidden in heaven, may all of us, Lord, enjoy them forever. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ, who is Lord forever and ever.
Amen. We will be having a youth book sale in the Activity Center at St. Tecla on March 18th. We are still offering Stations of the Cross through Lent. They are at St. Tecla at 1 p.m. and at St. Claude Chapel at 7 p.m. There are some Easter eggs in the baskets in the vestibule of church. For those of you who are not familiar with this, that each color egg represents an amount to be put in the egg, and the donations are used to benefit the poor in our area. And next weekend, there will be a second collection to benefit the Catholic Relief Services collection. Envelopes are in the pews to use for your convenience.
Let us bow our heads and pray for God's blessing. May the Lord save all of us from all harm. Amen. Amen. May the Lord Jesus heal all our wounds.
Amen.
May the Lord God lead all of us into the fullness of eternal life.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless all of us here today, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us go from here in peace to love and serve the Lord and one another.
As we're sent forth, let us sing number 133, Lord, throughout these 40 days.
Thank you. that you made a way. Our, and she's a devil for people.